the crux of the practice? So there are many answers, and I think it depends on how much practice we've done and how skilled. For example, someone close to our community likes to bring presents. Every 5 years I get this really neat tool, and then I got my toolbox with tools. Some of those tools, I never open them because they're very sharp, my hands shake, I could cut myself. If I were more experienced with tools, I would use every single one, but I've got my favorite tools. What I'm trying to say is, with awareness and with unwholesome mind states, with anger, we have to think about how skilled we are. When you say hold it in awareness, it isn't wise at times, or depending on one's skill in knowing and skill in understanding what's arising, the mind is very flammable. So if you put it near a flame, it's likely to catch fire. And the flame of anger can be out of control. You think it's just a little anger, but then when you let it sit in the mind longer, it could feed that flame and you have a forest fire out of control. So we have to be so really, really skilled in understanding our own condition. How well are we in ourselves? How flammable are we? It's a hard one to gauge. And there is no thermometer that you can take to measure. Well, I can hold that. Yeah, and then you remember that person. Oh, I'm not angry at that person. Oh, yeah. And then you start remembering other things that they did or didn't do and how hard that was and the suffering it caused. And then your mind jumps to another experience that is too hard to hold. And your anger has gotten so big that you're ready to go out and do something you shouldn't do. Or you're just obsessed with it. You've lost the balance of just knowing anger is impermanent because suddenly it's got the teeth into your heart, or the flame in the heart is alight. That's one way of looking at it. Another way is you've practiced with anger a lot and you feel very composed, you've forgiven, there's no problem, that anger comes up and you hold it. What does it mean you hold it? Why would we want to hold anger if we know it's impermanent? Why do we want to hold it? This word holding anger, we don't need to study anger to be present. If it just moves through, that's habit of mind. But we don't want to create a habit or enforce to press for angry states or to cheer on anger. Now you be my object of contemplation, because maybe we're not really ready for that, but we're so poor at evaluating our own skill in practice. So why not, instead of holding anger, why not turn the mind to forgiveness? Why do we have to practice holding anger? Now, if you're practicing metta, if you're wanting to improve your skill and get more fluid in sending metta to people that you were angry at, first, the Buddha always gives this instruction. First, it's important to be adept at sending metta to yourself. Adept. Till you feel a warmth in your heart. To send love to yourself, to forgive yourself. Once we can really do that, then we turn not to the people we're angry at, not right away, but we turn to those that we love and cherish. Easy. Oh, beautiful meditators, members of the community that love the practice and want to bring goodness into the world. Easy. But even before that, there is one recommendation where you focus on a teacher or your mother or someone that you have a debt of gratitude to. So it's a gradated, it's an incline, it's like an ascent. You don't climb the highest mountain when you're just learning to wear your boots. You take it in stages, step by step, gradually. We learn how to deal with unskillful states of mind. But if we hold the anger, because the mind is very flammable and unpredictable, it might burst into tears. You might start, you know, why did I do that? You get angry at yourself. And it just multiplies. So I think the gradual approach might be better. If you've done this kind of loving kindness practice a lot and you're very good at it, and you've spent many times already being with angry mind states and immediately zapping them, you know, like impermanent and it's gone, then yes, because the mind will bring up memories, bring up even emotional memories, because there may be pain in the body that registered somebody beating us when we were a kid. So when you think of that person, remember them, you might remember how angry you were. So there might be a residue in the heart. And that suddenly, it's almost like we're Dhamma windshield wipers, or we're cleaning the windows of the heart, and we find a spot that won't come out. Well, that was that buddy of mine that cheated me, or something like that. And you know the anger that was there. You just wipe it and it's gone. But for some, maybe it was abuse. It was violent. It was very deep. And you can't just wipe it. You have to rub and work on it, and little by little really take out the residue of the stain of that in the heart. And that's through understanding the Dhamma. In fact, when we wake up to the truth of what we are, then that love is so powerful that it will immediately remove, it's like a stain remover. It'll remove all the stains of the pains of our lifetimes, not just this life, because we wake up to the truth of what we are. And it's so much easier to let go the whole past. It's like meaningless, in a way. It's not meaningless, but it doesn't exist. It's just in the memory. And we're totally in the present moment. So present moment awareness doesn't hold anger. It may recognize mind states that are unskillful, and they just arise and cease. They arise and cease because the habit, mental formation habit, is still there. But we know it and we never spend time with it. Because why would you spend time with something that doesn't serve anymore? And we get so skilled at, it's like you keep the room clean, you keep your visual field or your heart field, it's clear. But waking up, there's a complete clarity that you don't need to be clearing anymore. When there's fully awake, the being who's fully awake doesn't have to clear, it's just clear. Yeah, it's just clear. But we have to keep clearing because the residue reforms itself. It reattaches. Like the barnacles on a boat. If you go out at sea and you don't clean the hull frequently, the barnacles get so big that they drag in the water and they slow your boat down. Then you can't even sail. So you have to keep on cleaning. But an arahant never gets a barnacle, if I can use that metaphor. It's free sailing. And the sail is always up, and there's no storm that can capsize that boat. But we're capsizable. So then We have to measure our ability to sail before we set out for the wide open water where angry storms can come and capsize us unexpectedly. But if we have enough practice and enough wind in our sail, we can navigate ourselves out of a storm. I did that once. That time I sailed across the Atlantic and we got caught in the headwind of a hurricane, lost rigging, thought we were, this was it. But we managed to get out. And what an experience. But you'd never intentionally do that. We just couldn't escape fast enough. So can we escape that angry form in the mind that we think is so innocent looking? Can we actually entertain it and allow it space in the heart? For what? If the heart is already full of the awareness, then it's not likely to land on anger to anyone. Because awareness that is purified, even if it's temporarily purified, probably we won't entertain angry thoughts. So it's like a rare view for the one who does practice very consistently, that would not come up and that would not affect, it would not inflame. But just in case it does, we have to be ready with all our rigging, like hold on to whatever can tie your sail down, hold it to make sure it doesn't get out of control. And that would be very strong attention, concerted intention to focus on that memory or that residue of anger in the heart, and then clear it, in brief. Does that help?
Yeah.
There is one other important aspect. Whatever brought about that anger doesn't exist. The you and the me and the them that we thought we were angry at, that person, it's just a figment. It isn't real. So the whole thing is like a theater. Why would we want to replay an act in a play with fictitious characters that don't exist, that we know we are not? So the right effort is tapered to right view. If we have the understanding that this is not who we are, then we wouldn't play with thoughts that are of no use. We would just see them like watching a river flow down a hill or a creek down the stony path near the hermitage. We stand and watch the water, but we don't reach in and try to take it. Unless we want to drink, but we wouldn't drink that water probably because of animal contamination. But we wouldn't try to stop it by taking water out and looking at it. This is water that goes down a stream. We don't need to, we just observe at a distance. So the right effort would be to just go into the awareness so that it completely takes up any space of what we know to be true. Our complete objectification, our object of knowing, is awareness itself. Awareness knowing awareness. So we immediately turn the mind back to itself, to know pure consciousness rather than worldly objects or mental formations, which are also conditioned phenomena. Because to see the unconditioned is to free the mind. And if we're hell-bent on freedom, we wouldn't play with the things that burden the mind. But when we're developing the ability to focus the mind, then that would be a test. You could use focusing on something that you don't like to see where like and dislike arises. Does it arise? You could do a little test. But It might be a spurious experiment. When there's so much love needed in the world, why would we spend an extra moment looking at anger? Think of, I know it's only seconds of holding anger, but studying anger, the Buddha doesn't tell us to eat poison. And anger is the poison of the heart. It's like an out-of-control fire. So why would we try to go near it with the mind? Why would we want that which is the enemy of loving-kindness be near to us, even in thought? So as soon as it arises, we would just send it to the door. There's the exit. As soon as we're able, but not artificially, not pretending. Because if we have anger towards the anger, we have to know that. That is something that is worth knowing. Oh, we're actually angry at our anger. And that we can heal that. If that's arising, that we can work with. The past we can't. But the present anger that is arising, that we have to know and remove. And it's more difficult because present moment anger. So when there's present moment awareness of that arising, then we can work with. But if it's a memory that's bringing up the anger, we have to be aware of the connection. The true friend of a meditator is present moment awareness. It's mindfulness of the present moment. That is the path to the deathless. If we're really sati sampajanya, if we're really paying attention, and we really see with wisdom what relationship is going on with the conditioned phenomena arising in awareness, then we would immediately expel and heal, clean, clear, as soon as we can. But just a caveat to that question.